Welcome to the Too Rich to Miss podcast, a place dedicated to motivate, educate, and inspire the listener to live their best life now using the skills that lie within. Becoming a better person by evolving our way of thinking, which allows us to change our life, family, and community. Let's get into today's topics. Welcome to the Too Rich to Miss podcast. I am your host, Richard Hawks, and this week we have an amazing show for you this week, episode number 23. And our main title and topic for this week is, why should I waste my time? And this is a politically based question. Why should I waste my time? Let's go over the show overview and then we're going and hop right into it. We got positive news that's coming out of Richmond today. We have health news for our health segment. Actually, we are going to be talking about health risks with an S. So health risk and a major health risk for us in the Black community. It won't be surprising, but it will be another one of those things where it's kind of like, oh, yeah, you got a point. All right. And then we're going down into homeschool news. Homeschool news is going to be talking about why one of the reasons why you should definitely think about homeschooling as an option if it's not something that you thought about before. And we're going down into corny comedy, which is going to be interesting and politically based as well. And then we're going to go into the last segment, which is, why should I waste my time? All right, now let's hop right into it and let's go on and get started right away. And let's jump right in talking about our positive news. Positive news for today, once again, coming out of Richmond, Virginia. And it's coming out of the Central Virginia Homeschool Girls Basketball Association that's out there in Richmond. So what we have here is one of the girls. Her name is... Now, and what Vicky did, and I can't find her full name here, but you can read the full article in the Richmond Times-Dispatch, richmond.com. Is where you can go to actually subscribe to them and all of that, et cetera, which is where I'm actually taking this article from. Her name is Vicky. Vicky Cooley, but her name is Hannah, but her friends call her Vicky. But anyway, she scored her 1,000 points. She scored 1,000 career points, and they celebrated that for her. And for those that play basketball, those that are into sports and into high school sports, I talk about this as something as positive news because homeschooling sports is growing. And the homeschooling sports teams are growing and they're getting better. Now, yes, this particular young lady is not a Black lady, is not a Black girl, but the moral to the story here is that homeschool sports is growing and sports is something that your children can still be involved in, even if they are homeschooled, which once again, I know from experience, I have one. I have our oldest is in college right now on a basketball scholarship, and he was homeschooled all the way up until the end. But we can delve into the deeper parts of that on another episode. But the moral to the story is, and the thing that I want to put out there and to make sure that I kind of be a proponent and a voice in this is I want to normalize the conversation around homeschooling, and I want that to be an option, and I want that to not just be a ho-hum pie in the sky option. I want that to be more of an option that us in the Black community actually really, really consider. And when I go into homeschool news and I talk about what I'm going to be talking about in homeschool news, you'll definitely understand why I say that and why I'm going to, as you continue to listen to this podcast, I'll make it a point to try to come up with something very interesting or a point to talk about homeschooling in one way or another. Now, pressing on. So, definitely shout out to her and all that she's doing. And once again, the moral to the story is that I want people to keep in mind, and I want to normalize this homeschooling conversation. Sports are available in your when you're homeschooling your child, and the teams are getting a lot better. So, now, positive news, shout out to her. Next up, going into our health segment. Now, going into our health segment, I found a very interesting article that was talking about health risk. And this particular article I am getting is an article done by a gentleman named Glenn Ellis. And his site can be found at www.glennellis.com. That's G-L-E-N-N Ellis, E-L-L-I-S.com. Now, this is a very intriguing article talking about health risk. And in our health segment, I want to go through and make sure that I always put something out there that's going to be beneficial to us and is going to cause us to think more about our health and think more critically about our health and take our health a lot more seriously in the Black community. Because in the Black community, it's just the fact we typically, not all of us, but there's still a lot of us that don't actually go through and do what we need to do to really take care of ourselves health-wise, right? So when I go through and talk about these things that I talk about in the health segments, it's not the majority of this information is not going to be revolutionary. It's going to be just something to kind of remind you, to give you that extra nudge. And I mean, the people that we're talking to over here on this, my audience that I'm talking to, that I run into, that I'm seeing pop up, are intelligent people. So the intelligent people that I speak with know that your health is your wealth. Because if you're not here and you're not healthy enough to get it in and to get out here and go get it, then what's the point? Or more so, if you get out there and you get it after you got it, if your health is so tore up that you can't even enjoy all of the fruits of your labor, then what's up with that, Dad? I mean, that sucks as well. So our health segment for today, health risk. And once again, nothing revolutionary, but let's jump right in. Just being Black is a health risk. Now, I'm waiting for all of the listeners to kind of gather their minds back together, because their mind was just blown by that revolutionary bit of information that I just put out there, right? None of us knew that, right? Just being Black is a health risk, right? Now, and I'm just kidding. I know all of us that are Black know and understand full well that just being Black is a health risk. And I'm not going to go through and read this whole article. I'm going to go through and pull out some very important parts, some interesting parts anyway. Not the most important parts, but just some interesting parts of this article that are very intriguing. And actually, and once again, this is not rocket science. This is not nothing new or revolutionary, but it definitely it is the things that we kind of think about and be like, oh, well, yeah. For example, let's just go through and first just kind of define a health risk. Now, a health risk: an adverse event or negative health consequence due to a specific event, disease, or condition. A health risk is something that increases your chance of developing a disease. Just being Black in America is one of the greatest risk factors for your health. Now, let's go through it once again, kind of just go through and I'll talk about some of these things that he's pointed out here. And I'm skipping around, and once again, not reading the whole article, but just want to kind of pull out some intriguing points to kind of for all of us to kind of think about, right? These are just things you want you to kind of think about. In the U.S., health disparities between blacks and whites are consistent across the board. Blacks have higher rates of diabetes, hypertension, and heart disease than any other groups. The death from asthma rate, yeah, the death from asthma rate for black children is 500% higher than white children. I did not misspeak. 500% higher than white children. HIV/AIDS is still an epidemic in black communities, while for whites across this country, it's being treated like high blood pressure or diabetes. Take a pill a day and live a full normal life. To put this in more perspective, if blacks and whites had the same mortality rate, nearly 100,000 fewer black people would die each year in the United States. Hold on to that one while I kind of go a little bit further. Even educated African Americans are sicker and die younger than their educated white peers. Black patients are both less likely to be prescribed pain medication, and doctors are twice likely to underestimate black patients' pain compared to other ethnicities combined. Based on research on health inequalities at the University of California, San Francisco, a black person will live on average about 3 fewer years than a white person with the same income. Once again, we'll kind of just let that one sit for a minute. While we kind of go down here and dig a little bit deeper, let's go to another point that he has a little bit further down in the article. A Journal of Clinical Oncology study of black cancer patients and their physicians found that doctors with implicit bias are less supportive and spend less time with their black patients. And hopefully they understand that black patients pick up on these attitudes. This results in black patients having more difficulty remembering what the doctor told them, had less trust their treatment plans would work, and thought it was going to be too difficult to follow the recommended treatments. Think this won't lead to poorer health outcomes? Yeah. Just being black is a health risk. And once again, I know that everything that I've read to you thus far is not rocket science. It's not rocket science. And I know that this is not anything that anybody is surprised in hearing. No one is surprised in hearing this. Let's go down and let's pull out something else here. And once again, these are things that you think about and consider. Now, a lot of these things that we're talking about can be covered and cleared up by us doing what I was talking about in the last week's health segment when I talked about holistic medicine. And I talked about us bettering our eating habits, which diet is a whole nother thing that I think I'll talk about on another episode. We have to be more considerate and more conscientious of not only what we put in our bodies, but let's actually start from there. We have to be very conscientious on what we put in our bodies. It's very, very important that we're conscientious on what we put in our bodies. And a lot of what this stuff that we're talking about and that I've mentioned can help to be alleviated by simply changing and adjusting our diets. A lot of us just eat bad. Now, granted, yes, I know some of us are in food deserts too, but a lot of us just eat bad. And we just eat the wrong stuff, and some of us eat bad and don't care. But for those of us that do care and do want to do something different, and they do understand all of these things that I've mentioned and that I've said thus far, take the time to do something for yourself to improve your health. No one is coming for you. No one is coming to help you. no one is going to be there to hold your hand. You have to be responsible and take responsibility for yourself, for your health, which is your greatest form of wealth. If you're not here, you can't make any more money. If you're not healthy, you can't make money. If you're not as healthy as you can be, you can't, let's just say it like this. You can make money and not be healthy, but you can't make as much. You could make more money if you were more healthy. You could be able to enjoy the money that you do make after you've made it when you're healthy. Your health is your wealth. You won't, after you get out here and achieve these wonderful goals that you got set for yourself, and after you do all of the things that you're trying to do and that you wanted to do, you want to be healthy enough to be able to enjoy all of the fruits of your labor, right? Now, let's go through and let's throw a couple more out here. Now, bias is a topic that is receiving a lot of attention these days. I mean, we're in a very separated country, right? We have studies that have demonstrated how for Black people, discrimination / racism plays a role in unhealthy behaviors such as cigarette smoking, alcohol and substance abuse, improper nutrition, and refusal to seek medical services. Bottom line, Black folks get sicker at younger ages, have more severe illnesses throughout life, and age biologically more rapidly than whites. Scientists call this the weathering effect, or the result of cumulative stress. What would Black people know about cumulative stress? Just being sarcastic. We know a lot about cumulative stress. So no, there's nothing wrong with our being Black. There's something wrong with the society in which we live. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So just to put a button on this part, I'm going to say that one more time. There's nothing wrong with our being Black. There's something wrong with the society in which we live. Right? The society in which we live. Just being Black is a health risk. And once again, this article that I'm talking to you about, and I'll have a link to his website in the show notes. Just being Black as a health risk. This is by Glenn Ellis. Glenn Ellis is not a doctor, but all of the points that he put in this article, and like I said, I didn't go through everything. There's still some other stuff in here that I think you will find very interesting and very intriguing. Just being Black is a health risk. If we're going to be better, then we have to do better, and we have to think better, and we have to be proactive about us being better with our health. So on that note, let's kind of press on and let's go over to our homeschool news for today. Now, our homeschool news for today actually comes out of Arkansas. And although this is not news related directly to homeschooling or something that happened in relation to homeschooling, I want to put this out there as a reminder of why you may want to possibly maybe just think about and give homeschooling a consideration, perhaps, just perhaps. Now, all of us are familiar, or all of us probably should be familiar, with the situation that just happened in Arkansas. There was a resource officer in Arkansas. The video went viral as of the recording of this as of the recording of this podcast, this happened. This is, and as of the recording of this podcast, he's been suspended. But if you saw it, and if you haven't seen it, I encourage you to look at it and to pull it up and look at this resource officer who was choking a black teen. He was choking this teenager, had him in a rear choke, had him picked up, lifted off of his feet, had him in a chokehold off the floor. He was literally holding this guy by his neck. He had him in a reverse chokehold and had him off the floor choking this teenager. Now, I definitely want you to go through and look at the video. I definitely want you to take it in, and I want you to think about it from the standpoint of, what if that was your child? What if that was your teenager? What if that was your son that this cop decided that he's just going to just go through and choke this dog, pick this kid up and choke him like that, right? I mean, irregardless of what was or was not going on, as a trained officer of the law, then my thoughts are that you would have some training that would allow you to be able to control someone without having to choke them and pick them up off the floor, choking them, right? So I said all that to say, if your child is homeschooled, or if you can afford it and your child is in a private school, or if you're able to take advantage of some type of charter school or something, or some other more privately funded educational system, then, but this case I'm talking about homeschool, if you're able to homeschool your child, I want you to think about this. What is the probability that your child would be choked or strangled if they're being educated in the safety of your home? What is the possibility of your child being racially discriminated against if they are being educated and schooled in an environment with people who actually love them, care about them, and care about their well-being, and actually want to them to be educated to be the best people and the best person that they can be? I understand that homeschooling is not for everyone. I understand that everyone is not going to go down that road, and everybody doesn't have the necessary discipline to go down that road. But what I am saying is that for those that do have the wherewithal, or those that are concerned about providing their children with something different, for those that are concerned and are thinking and are wondering, is there another way? There is another way. And you don't have to put your child into a school system that most don't really care about us no way. Most, not all, most, a lot, let's just say a lot don't care about us as black people anyway. A lot want to just throw us into some type of a program. A lot want to drug us up if we do anything that's outside of their norm. A lot want to actually go through and push this crazy agenda down their throats about, you know, and they want to twist this whole gender thing and all of this other stuff, and that's a whole nother conversation in itself as well. You know, a lot of these schools are not going to be putting the values and teaching the values that you teach to your children. At the very least, if you're not going to homeschool, which I get it, or if you can't homeschool, I get it. If you can't afford private school, I get it. Then at the very least, what you are going to have to make sure that you do is go the extra mile to make sure that you educate your child even more after they come from public school because of all of the junk and the shit that they're going to throw in their head. I mean, hey, it is what it is. So now I said all of that to say in this week's homeschool news, child safety is important. The safety of our children is important. We don't send them to school to be choked by a resource officer. We don't send them to school to be discriminated against. We don't send them to school to be fighting. We don't send them to school to have to survive. We send them to school to be educated so that they can learn how to be prosperous and profitable adults, right? And go off to do the things that they need to do and to be the people that the best people that they can be, right? So just want to put that out there and just kind of put that in your brain to just think about. Now, corny comedy for the day. I heard this one on TikTok, and I thought this was both. I thought it was funny and corny all at the same time. And this is going to kind of, bounce off of this one and flow right into politics. And my main topic for the day. Now, I want you to think about this. If a deaf girl masturbates, does she use her other hand to moan? Just kind of hold on to that one for a second. If a deaf girl masturbates, does she use her other hand to moan? Corny comedy, ladies and gentlemen, corny comedy. Think about that one for a minute. If you have a suggestion for the corny comedy segment, hit me on Twitter, Too Rich to Miss on Twitter, and submit your corny comedy jokes, not meant to be funny, meant to make you think. And how does this, pray tell, have anything to do with how does this relate to me talking about politics? Well, it actually does not relate to anything that I'm about to say regarding politics, which is one of the things that I see with these politicians. Most of them, and the ones that I look at, especially if we're looking at from the presidential side and with all of this stuff they got going on, it doesn't have anything to do with politics. Kind of like what most of these people are saying has nothing to do with what they're actually going to do to actually benefit any of us. They are 98% of politicians are self-serving. They're serving their own personal agendas. And if what your needs are just so happens to fall under their agenda that they're pushing for themselves, then you'll get a perk. But do know my thoughts and my view of what I'm seeing is politicians are out for themselves. 98% of them anyway. I say they're out for themselves. So when they talk about this left wing and this right wing, the people on the left are doing this and the people on the right are thinking about that. And, the people on the left don't like the people on the right. And then they say, oh, we should have bipartisan, which everybody comes together and meet in the middle. But here's the thing. Left wing, right wing. Both wings are connected to the same bird. I've said it before and I'll say it again. They're both wings on the same bird. Which brings me to the whole topic of this podcast. Why should I waste my time? Now, and I'm talking about voting. And I know, People died for our right to vote. I know we should always participate in the democratic process. I know if we don't participate, that's the reason why things are the way they are right now. Yeah, I know. I've heard all of that and the myriad of the other things that people say, you know. And then we got another, doggone Roland Martin was on TV on his show talking about, if you don't vote, you're a simple Simon motherfucker. And I'm like, boy, wow, man. Whoa, really? But everybody has their own agenda. Everybody has their own agenda. Did you catch that? But anyway, so why should I waste my time? Why should I waste my time? And here's the way that I think about it. I mean, because I come from a segment of, I'm one of those segment of people that if a Republican is in office, I'm going to get out here and go get it. If a Democrat is in office, I'm going to get out here and go get it. If Timbuktu from you know who or wherever is in office, I'm going to get out here and go get it. And I'm not blessed at this particular point to have a tax bracket that would benefit from any tax breaks that they have going on right now. Anyway, I got to go get it, irregardless of who do get in there or who don't get in there. And there's a big segment of people that's out there that's like me, that's got to go get it, irregardless of who may or may not end up in the office. We got to go get it regardless. So my question is, for people like myself who gonna go get it regardless, and we're talking about working legally, if you out here legally getting it, which is hard, which is challenging, but it's worth it. So if you're out here going to get it and you got to go get it, knowing that you got to go get it, been going to get it, no matter who was in office. When Obama was in office, I was going to get it. When Bush was in office, I was going to get it. When Clinton was in office, I was going to get it. Trump is in office, I'm still out here going to get it. If he gets in again, I'm going to still be out here going to get it. Now, on the other hand, here's the thing that I'm asking, why should I waste my time? What are the Democrats going to actually do different? What are they going to actually do for the black community, right? What are they going to do for us? Well, let me tell you what's going on in Virginia right now. Virginia is currently controlled by the Democrats, and they are pushing this gun legislation down the line. And how many people know the history of gun control? Gun control only actually got to be a thing because we as black people were using and exercising our rights to bear arms. We're talking back in the days with the Black Panther Party and going back into those days. You know, gun control actually is geared toward us as black people. Gun control is not something that's going to be, they're not going out into the farms and into the rural areas, and they're not going to be going out there to quote unquote confiscate assault weapons, right? They're not going out there for that. You know, all of these gun bans and all of this stuff, that stuff is going to affect the black community more. Now, I totally understand and I appreciate all of the 2A advocates that are out there doing the doggone thing and all of that that's happening with that. And that's really cool, you know, that everybody's out there trying to actually show some type of hell no, this is some bullshit when it comes to this stuff. But black people, let's not fool ourselves here. Gun control is about us. If you don't think it's not about us, read up on it. Read up on the history of gun control. And I know, I know, I know, I know. I know there's going to be some people out there who say, oh, well, Richard, you're just trying to pull the race card. And, oh, Richard, oh, God, no, it's, you know, the assault weapons, they're killing people and they're weapons of war and all this, that, and the third. And when, you know, and it's one of those things where it's like, it gets back to what I was saying about the joke earlier. The joke has nothing to do with what I'm talking about. Kind of like this gun control measures that they're putting in place is not going to solve the problem. Because see, here's the thing that I always say that people tend to, that I think people don't think about. And once again, this is a podcast with intelligent people that use their common sense, that think, right? Think about this. If a person is a criminal, if a person has made up their mind that they are going to, if a person makes up in their mind that they are going to go out and kill people, I don't think they're going to go back to check the laws to see what they can and can't do. I don't think that they're going to say, you know what, I guess I better not kill nobody today with this assault weapon because these have now been banned. Surely, I mean, you know, always do everything legally. But do you really think somebody who's made up in their mind that they are going to go out and commit a crime and kill people aren't going to actually go out and purchase a quote unquote assault weapon? You think that this person won't, this individual won't, in their sick and twisted mind, won't actually go out and just get one illegally somewhere and still go out and do what they're going to do? I mean, how much of a deterrent do you really think infringing on the rights of legally armed citizens is going to do to deter an individual who has already got their mind into a criminal mind state? Someone who is already in a criminal state of mind and is already made up in their mind that they're going to do whatever they're going to do, they are not going to be too worried about assault weapons ban and magazines that are limited to 12 rounds or less, or any of this other stuff that they got going on down here in this particular bill. What they're not doing is they're not taking the time to actually cover the real main issue. There's one thing and I know it's hard, and you know, and politicians don't want to do hard shit, right? Because it takes too long to actually do hard shit and actually solve a problem. It's a lot easier to get some talking points out there so they can get in office and push their self-serving agenda. But here's the one thing that people don't think about. Guns don't kill people. People kill people. A gun is an inanimate object that does not function on its own. Now, let's say, pray tell, what if, just random question, what if the politicians actually enacted policies that would deal with the mental health issues that people have that caused them to go over the edge and off the deep end and cause them to want to get to this particular state of mind? Perhaps if there were some ways, some better avenues for people who are having mental issues to actually get the help that they need so that they don't go off the deep end and feel like they have to kill people to end themselves to rectify their issue, then maybe, just maybe, we would actually see some things change. But all they're doing right now, with this gun legislation, which is a Democratic thing, by the way. All they're doing with this gun legislation is they are infringing and limiting the rights of legal gun owners. And guess what, people in the black community? Guess what? Guess what they're going to do when all of this comes into effect and goes and go? What? Guess what happens? Just guess. Guess what neighborhoods they think that they are going to need to go into? Guess what areas they think they're going to need to be in more? Anybody heard that Michael Bloomberg thing that he just put out? Michael Bloomberg is running for Democratic nomination to be the president. He wants to run against Trump, right? But he believes in stop and frisk. He was totally down with stop and frisk. And guess where stop and frisk was? It was really enforced the most. Our communities. Guess who Bloomberg thinks are the problem? The people in our communities. I challenge you to actually get online and see what the man said about us. He feels like white people are stopped too much and black people aren't stopped enough. He's a Democrat running for president. And what's the difference between him and Donald Trump again? What is he going to do different than Trump? We got a self-serving billionaire in office right now, and then we got another one that's on the ticket over here. And of course, I know he doesn't have the Democratic nomination right now, and I know he's not the guy, but he's just one example. Why should I waste my time is the question. Who else we got? Who else is on the other side? Tweet me. Send me a tweet and let me know which one of these candidates that which one of these Democratic candidates is even got a black agenda at all that's going to do something for us and our communities. Which one? I mean, and I know there's a lot, you know, we got all type of talking points and all of the highly, you know, the real, real deep political people who know all of this stuff inside out can just go back and forth off the top of their head and run off all of these things. So all of you highly intelligent political people out there, help a brother out. Tweet me at Too Rich to Miss on Twitter and let me know which one of these Democratic people is worth me actually taking time out of my day, which is time out of me actually going out to get money and time out of me actually going out here going to get it, to stand on the line to vote in a poll. Yeah, to vote in a poll for a person that, you know, depending on how the wind is blowing, may or may not get all of the votes for whatever reasons. But let's just say all of the votes do count. Let's not even get into the voting conspiracy theories and all of that. Let's not even talk about, you know, all of the things that tend to just happen, quote unquote, with voting and all of that. Let's just leave all of that to the side. And let's just say, hypothetically speaking, that our votes really counted and that the votes that we put in actually went toward who we put them toward. Who on the Democratic side is going to do anything different for us? And something else, what has the Democratic Party done for us and the black community? Which gets back to my question of, I understand all of the many things why people will say why it's important that we should vote. Okay, yeah, I get it. I understand all of the historical importance and all of that. Yeah, okay. And I get it that when you don't vote, then the policies get put into place and blah, 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 blah. But I voted. And if your person doesn't get in that you voted for, then you still got to deal with whatever the other person puts in place anyway. So it gets back to my point of, I'm in the category of people, no matter who's in there, I'm going to be going to get it regardless. No matter what happens, I'm going to be getting it regardless. Democrat, Republican, or otherwise. I'm going to have to go out and get it either way. So, the question is, why should I waste my time? Why should I waste my time in voting for somebody who's not going to even be doing nothing for our community or doing nothing to benefit me? No way. Or it's possible that maybe I'm missing something somewhere. I can, you know, hey, I get it. It's possible that I could be missing something somewhere. So tweet me, Too Rich to Miss on Twitter. Why should I waste my time? Which one of these people on the Democratic side should, if I'm going to be a team player and we're going to be voting for somebody who's actually supposed to do something for the black community, who should I be looking at? Who should I be looking at and talking about? Tweet me and let me know. Cause right now, I mean, you know, the way I kind of look at it right now is like, I come out better, focusing on living my best life now. I do a lot better focusing on being effective and efficient, making sure that I invest and making sure that I build my business and making sure that I save and making sure that I, you know, do what I need to do to get my revenue up so that I can be in a position to deal with whatever one of these crazy people in office do or don't do. So tweet me. Let me know who is it that we should be looking at, and who is it that actually has a black agenda, and what has the Democratic Party done for us as the black community? What have they done for us? How much better does your community look under Democrats versus Republicans? How has your life been affected or changed with Trump in office? Most of us that are out here hustling and going to get it, and I'm talking about hustling from the legal perspective, most of us that are out here entrepreneurs, out here hustling, out here going to get it, it don't matter who in that doggone office. We gonna be out here getting money regardless. So I'm asking on behalf of all of the people who's gonna be out here getting money regardless, why should we take time out of our getting money to go over here and vote for somebody who's not going to make a difference in our world anyway? The Too Rich to Miss podcast. I'm here to motivate you, to inspire you, to make you think, becoming, evolving, changing. The government is not going to come for us. They're not going to help us. They might come for us, but they're not coming to help us. You can believe that. We have got to get out here and do it for ourselves, and we've got to make sure that we're using our common sense and think differently and be better. This society and system wasn't built with us in mind, but we can get out here, learn this game, and be successful. Now, in the midst of being successful, before I let you go, I want to remind you to be sure to check out QuickBooks. It's tax time, and since it's tax time, you need something. You need a tool that's going to be able to help you to get all of your data together and have all of that stuff together so that you can be able to shoot it over to your accountant or over to your tax professional, or if you're, we deal with intelligent people over here. So if you're one of those extremely intelligent people who can do your own taxes, this is a great tool that helps you out a lot. The reports are really good, and it's good stuff. You got to check it out. QuickBooks. Click on my link in the description or click on the link in the show notes. You get 50% off of your subscription for the first 6 months. So check it out. Go to my link. Click on the link so you can get your special of 50% off your first 6 months. You will love it. And 4 years from now, you'll be thanking me that you went and took advantage of it. Until next week, Once again, follow me on Twitter, Too Rich to Miss. Follow me on Instagram, Too Rich to Miss. Tweet me, why should I waste my time? I'll see you next week. Peace.
The Too Rich to Miss Podcast.